Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor and founder of the full-service rental real estate company called Morris Invest. If you would like to leave us a voicemail question that we can answer right here on the show, it's very simple to do. Just go to our website, morrisinvest.com, click on the microphone icon, and we will attempt to answer your question here on the show. Now, what we do on this show is try to make you a more educated real estate investor. And again, I believe one of the best ways that we can learn is by listening to other people's questions, right? The old saying, if you're talking, that means you're not listening. And then therefore, you're probably not learning also. So let's listen to what our viewers have to say and any questions they have about real estate investing, financial freedom, passive income, taxes. That's what we do on these Q&A episodes. So our first question today comes to us from Blake.
Hi, Clayton. My wife and I recently moved out of the Pacific Northwest and into Oklahoma City area. We sold a house. My wife's a real estate agent. She's a real estate agent down here now as well. The house we sold in Washington, we ended up with a bunch of cash. We put minimum down payment on our dream home here and kept about $380,000 in cash. Our plan is to start buying up investment real estate around here. Looks like single family homes, still pretty good market for it down here. My question to you is, would you just sit on that cash and wait and put it to work as fast as possible in properties, or would you put any more of it down into the home that I'm living in? Or would you just keep, you know, that $100,000 of equity in a $515,000 property that's our forever home and put all that liquid cash to work in new properties?
Thank you, Blake. Great question. So it really, to me, it comes down to security, right? What do you want for the security for you and your family? Like, where do you feel? Where does that sit with you? What does security mean to you? Okay, so we're in a crazy time right now, right? And when I think about what is important to my family, I want to be able to provide food for my family. I want to be able to provide shelter for my family. I want to be able to provide clean water for my family. I want to be able to make payments and purchase things when the financial system goes sideways. And I think one way to preserve wealth is with real estate. Real estate for thousands of years through all sorts of turmoil has been able to sustain and provide stability for people in wars and famines for thousands of years. Gold, silver, and real estate. Gold and real estate, really, but silver as well. But those are the main ones. And also, yes, precious artwork for thousands of years. But if you have a Picasso, that's great. But real estate really, to me, is the best way to preserve wealth. So what can we do, right? The house that you live in, a bank has given you extended money to you to buy the house that you live in. Now, I've written a whole book on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. So I'm a big proponent of, yes, using a dual strategy. So it sounds like you have that $380,000 or whatever it is. You don't have to go all in on paying off your primary mortgage. You can use a chunk of that to invest in additional resources and assets. Now, I just want to caution you, I'm not sure exactly where you're thinking about buying those assets, but our team can help you if you want to book a call with our team, Blake. Just go to morrisinvest.com. We can walk you through that process because you're going to want to be buying rental properties that you are not managing unless you want to create a new job for yourself. And you want to be buying them in the most landlord-friendly states in the country. So and areas. So where we build our new construction properties for our clients is in Texas and some of the other states that are the most landlord-friendly in the country. There's reasons for that. Very important. And there's also demographic reasons for that to protect your wealth long-term. So again, our team can help you with that piece of it. And if we can't, we can point you in the right direction. But I just would say that up front. And then the ownership of these properties, now you're creating cash flow and you're creating a tax shelter for your family. If you're not doing that, then you're keeping all of your eggs in your house basket and you're not creating any cash flow, right? You're not creating any long-term passive income for your family. The goal, of course, at retirement is to have streams of cash, not a pile of cash. And the house that you live in is not producing anything. It's not producing cash flow. Now, think about a dual strategy where you put some of that money, sure, to accelerating the payoff of your primary mortgage. Again, read my book. It's short. You'll read it in like a few hours. Okay. It's like 100 pages. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. You can find it on Amazon. Get the blue cover. That's the most updated edition that has the latest on tax codes for the latest tax law. So make sure you check that out. But what we teach you to do is use a chunk of that to fire at your primary balance on your mortgage while also simultaneously buying rental real estate. Okay, don't, in my opinion, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do, but I would be looking at in this crazy environment as the United States, you know, it's a really difficult situation right now. So real estate has sustained for thousands of years. So how can I protect my family's wealth and, you know, and take care of them into the future? Having additional pieces of real property, which are a hedge against inflation, which are a tax shelter, and which are producing monthly cash flow, in addition to paying down that primary mortgage where you're increasing your equity position, and that you can even use that equity later to make additional purchases, right? Remember, you cannot eat equity. So utilizing that primary mortgage eventually in a home equity line of credit. So that's where I would be. That's what I've done. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but this is what, if I had your exact situation, that's what I would be doing. So thank you for that question. All right, our next one.
Hi, Morris. Gilbert Riquejo. Question, on a recourse loan, how can you purchase without coming in with 20% down? Is that possible?
Thank you, Gilbert. So asking about a non-recourse loan, which is honestly right now one of our best vehicles at our company, because while interest rates are going up with these conventional loans, non-recourse loans that we work with our lenders, they're not tied to you personally, therefore not tied to your personal credit. And actually those rates in many ways are being locked in at a better situation than the conventional loans. I mean, wow, has the time changed a little bit? So, you know, our team can talk you through that if you book a call with our team at Morris Invest, and we can tell you the latest rates because I don't have them in front of me. But non-recourse means that it's not tied to you personally. We have whole videos and audios here on our channel about non-recourse financing. Now, the bank is going to look at the asset itself. It's going to look at the cash flow of that property. It's going to look at the demographics of that property. And they don't care about you, Gilbert, necessarily. They care about the asset. So I love those. I love these types of loans because it's basically like the bank saying, hey, I know you're going to be buying this property. This is a great freaking property that you're getting here. And we're going to back it itself, not you. So if you run off to Venezuela or someplace, you know, it doesn't matter and you don't make your payments. Great. We, the bank, are going to put that back into our portfolio of properties because it's such a great asset. However, the down payment is higher. What I would do is, Gilbert, talk with our team, because the down payment amount for a non-recourse loan is going to be different than it is for a conventional loan of 20%. You're going to have to come in with a higher amount down. So typically in the 30 to 40% range. But again, we work with over 100 different lenders. So I can't just throw out an exact number to you and say it's going to be 30% or 30. You need to talk with our team about that, because we work with so many different lenders that we can find one where we can get that down payment amount maybe structured differently for you based on your current situation. Okay. There's not a one size fits all approach to real estate investing. It all depends on you and your personal finances and how we can construct it to make it work for you. So again, book a call with our team and we'll walk you through that process. But the short answer is yes, non-recourse loan down payments are higher than they are for a traditional conventional loan. So thank you for that question. Oh, I love that sound. That sound makes me smile. That is the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big businesses, customized for my needs, with a great-looking online storefront that brings my ideas to life and tools to manage my day-to-day and drive sales. Making your idea real opens up endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty, you know, the beauty of entrepreneurship. Like when you start out and you've got a few items you want to sell and you're like, oh, how am I going to do this? Well, you go to Shopify because you're going to get a beautiful website and a storefront that you're going to be able to start and sell your items almost immediately. Well, that's the beauty of Shopify, because it grows with you. So as you're, you know, adding more items to your store, Great. Then Shopify can expand with you. You want to tweak the customizable settings on the website, add some different colors and fonts and change things. That's what Shopify does. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their very first sale on Shopify. You can get started by building and customizing your online store right now with no coding and no design experience. They've got great templates for you to use. Plus, they've got amazing 24/7 support, so you're never alone. You can just drop them a chat and they'll help you immediately. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/investing. That's all lowercase. Okay, you got to do it all in lowercase. It's shopify.com/investing to get a free 14-day trial. And you get access to their full Shopify suite of features. Amazing stuff. They can help you to build logos and all of that stuff. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/investing right now. Shopify.com/investing. All right. Our next question comes to us from Carl.
Good evening, Clayton. This is Carl from Baltimore, Maryland. I have a townhome that I have roughly 100K in equity that I would like to tap into to then purchase a single family as my next primary residence and keep my townhome as my first rental property. Now, I guess in your opinion, what financing method makes the most sense to do that, whether it be a HELOC or home equity loan or cash out refi? And is that really the best way to go about starting my real estate portfolio?
Okay, great question. Now, I have a number of years, this reminds me of a question I had a number of years ago from a from two of our clients that we worked with at Morris Invest. It was a young couple that in outside of Philadelphia, in the Manayunk area of Philadelphia, great little area. They had a townhome they bought when they were first married. Well, now they were having children, and so the little townhome in Manayunk didn't really suit their needs anymore, so they moved. They were planning to move, or they did move, actually. They kept this townhome as a rental property. And they asked my advice on that townhome, and we ran the numbers. But what they thought that they were basically kind of breaking even with this townhome that they held, right? And the thing is, what happens is people will hold on to these things because it's they've got an emotional connection to the townhome. They've got an emotional connection to this property. So first, Carl, what I want to say to you is, do you have an emotional connection to this property? Do the numbers make sense? Okay. Might it make more sense for you to sell this property altogether and actually, you know, rethink your whole strategy? Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know your numbers and I don't know your situation. So just make sure that emotion is not tied to this townhome. It was for this couple that I'm telling you about. They held this townhome and it was basically breaking even. That's what they told me. So then on the phone, we actually started going through the numbers together. And it turns out after I included taxes, which they didn't include in the number, and their overall ROI, their return on this investment, because they're still paying a mortgage on it, that in fact, they were losing money every month on this townhome. The only reason they kept it is because they had an emotional connection to it. It was their first townhome. Well, their family was expanding. They were never going to move back into this townhome. Right? So it's like holding on to nostalgia for no reason. They're never going to ever move back into this townhome unless, I don't know, unless they got divorced and he was like, I'm going to go move back into the townhome. Right? But that's not going to happen. So they held this thing. It was not producing. And I said, look, if this property were mine, I'd be calling up a realtor today and I would be getting it listed and I would take the profit from this property. Right? And I would consider, you know, rolling it into a 1031 exchange and looking for other like kind properties where I would actually get a return on investment. So that's what they did. They ended up selling that townhome and they rolled it into like three properties. They were able to use that cash to buy down payments on three properties that weren't in Philadelphia. And I told them, I said, the numbers are not going to make sense in Philadelphia, like for you to buy a single family home. And I don't know what the situation is in Baltimore, my dad's home city of Baltimore. Steam crabs, my favorite food in the entire world, by the way, in Baltimore, in the Eastern Shore of Maryland. So I don't know what the current situation is to get a single family or a duplex in Baltimore that would actually generate cash flow and that is going to be a great asset for you. You might think about selling that townhome and repositioning that cash outside of the state of Maryland and into other investment vehicles that are going to produce a higher return on investment, are going to be in better landlord-friendly states. Maryland is a blue state, of course, right? And it is not very landlord-friendly. So you just need to be careful about where you're buying rental properties. I know it's in your backyard, and that people get attracted to the idea of the backyard purchase. Just be very, very careful about that. So perhaps looking at that townhome, if you're planning on keeping it though, and the cash flow is good, then yes, and it's paid off, a home equity line of credit would be the way that I personally would like to go to pull out the equity of that property. I'm not a fan of cash out refinances. I've said that repeatedly here on the show, because then you're just getting a check in the mid. You're just getting a check, and now the interest rate starts right then. With a home equity line of credit, it's a revolving credit line like a credit card. And you can keep it and use it for 10 years. You can continue to use the equity as you pay it down and buy other properties. But it sounds like you're going to use that equity to buy a primary residence for you to live in. So again, that's not going to be a cash flowing situation. But yeah, to me, a home equity line of credit would be the way to go to pull the equity out of that property to use that going forward. But again, if the numbers don't make sense at holding it as a rental property, you might consider selling it and then buying a rental property out of state in a landlord-friendly state. And again, our team can help you with that if you're interested. We can talk you through that on the phone too and help you out with this. And even if we can't work with you on that, we'll point you in the right direction and hopefully you'll find it useful. So again, you can go to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com. That's M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com. And you can leave us a voicemail question here. There's a microphone icon on the lower right-hand part of the screen. Just click that. And we will answer your questions here on the show. So thank you so much for that. And I just want to say thanks to all of your great questions. Really, really thoughtful, thorough real estate investing questions. And I love what you guys are thinking. So please go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. It is the number one way to create and preserve wealth. We'll see you next time.